It's Freddie P. from CanadianThinker.com. And he joins us now. Freddie, how are you?
I'm very good this morning. How are you, fellas?
Game three tonight in Philadelphia. Chicago, as you called it, doing pretty well in the Stanley Cup Finals so far, up 2-0. Do you see Philadelphia winning game three, or is Chicago really going to shut this series down?
Well, I really thought that if Philly had a chance at a victory, it would be game one. Maybe catch the Hawks by surprise, but look at the Hawks' road record in the playoffs. I think it's like 7-1 or something.
Yeah, they're better on the road.
Yeah, they're better on the road, and they'll go into Philly tonight, and they won't have to play to 22,000 frenzied Chicago fans, so they just may get down and dirty and play a tight, controlled game and sweep this thing. I can see it, fellas.
Yeah, you had said earlier, you said by the most, five. So
yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, Chicago just matches up so well against Philadelphia, and we saw that in the first two games, the depth and scoring that they have, and they don't have Daniel Carcello, which is an advantage for Chicago, I think.
Yeah, like it's, you know, matchups in sports, especially hockey, are fascinating. You know, we go right back to the beginning. The Habs matched up well against Pittsburgh and Washington. Mm-hmm. They did not match up well against Philadelphia, whereby maybe Philadelphia wouldn't match up well against Pittsburgh and Washington. You know, it really is fascinating. And look at Chicago. They had a rough time with Nashville in the first round. And then they go into cruise control against teams that you would perceive are stronger and better.
And you know the difference, funny, between Chicago and Canada, basically, with the Stanley Cup Finals going on. I was reading an article yesterday in the Chicago Tribune about the Stanley Cup Finals and the excitement of the possibility of LeBron James coming to Chicago. Mm-hmm. And it sounds as if that if you were to stop a person on the streets of Chicago on Wacker Road or whatever they call it, and ask them what the biggest sports story in Chicago is right now, like 70% of respondents to a poll on their website said the possibility of LeBron James, July the 1st, signing with the Bulls
is bigger than the Hawks being in the Stanley Cup final.
Bigger than the Hawks possibly winning their first cup in 40-something years.
You know, I've said this before. God bless America. But my neighbor and I were watching the Jays game last night. We had that conversation. Like, I am sorry, but how you choose basketball over hockey, just, well, it becomes a cultural thing, and it becomes part of the fabric of the country and, I guess, the history. But give me a freaking break. What the Chicago Blackhawks are doing, you would choose that over basketball? Like,
I know.
Honestly, like,
the Bulls have
Jonathan Taves is your captain, a fine young athlete.
Uh-huh.
Excited right now about LeBron James. Sorry, but you know, I'll never understand it.
No.
I'll never understand it.
Well, one debate that's going on your website, CanadianThinker.com, is about an article in the Toronto Star about the Chicago Blackhawks logo. And the article's saying that the logo's got to go because it is, quote-unquote, offensive.
Yeah, because it's an Indian chief or an Indian warrior. And listen, let's make no mistake about it. In our politically correct world in which we live now, a logo like that would never be adopted. But it has history. And it was first chosen for all the best of intentions because of bravery and I forget exactly the term the owner used. But it was all positive. Apparently, there was a Native American who fought in World War One with a certain battalion, and the owner of the Blackhawks, you know, wanted to recognize his bravery through the war. And so all with the best of intentions. And yes, in this day and age, it might be offensive, but given the history and given the times have changed, relax. And, I don't see a lot of Native people or Indian people lined up asking for it to be removed. They don't seem to care. So why does this politically correct fringe care all of a sudden?
It just seems as though we've become so sensitive to so many little things. You know, like, and the other thing that we'll talk about in just a second is this urinal, which is a picture on your website. But really, and you know, we had a bit of a backlash with that with our billboard as an example, but, you know, you look at the logo and you look at this the picture of this urinal and such, and really, I mean, I almost want to be these people, because if their biggest concern is the logo on the front of a jersey, then they've got it made.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and this goes back to the issue of the Cleveland Indians.
Yeah.
I don't know the history of that name. I think Bob Hope was one of the owners at the time or something, if I'm not mistaken. But it doesn't matter. They chose Indians because of, you know, the term tribe and togetherness and all for one.
Mm-hmm.
Again, all positive.
Yes.
And the team's been around for decades and decades and decades, and there really hasn't been any type of a collective outcry from the people that should be offended. But those, this political, politically correct fringe again, they're out to protect people that don't even want to be protected. Same with the Atlanta Braves. Braves, brave. Like, it's a great image for a sports team.
Yes.
Like, it was meant with the best of intentions, not derogatory at all. So relax.
No, still remember in the 90s when the Braves were making their runs and they do the tomahawk
yep.
chop.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a catchy thing. It became their big run that they yeah. would play the music, and it was like almost like to an Indian drum that they would mm-hmm. do the tomahawk chop, and nobody said a word. But all of a sudden, the team name is a big problem for people.
Yeah. It's interesting you say that. That just brought back an image of the 92 World Series when Roberto Alomar from third base crossing the home plate, remember, did the tomahawk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
During that series, oh, that was a great moment.
That was great. That was the way to get him back for putting
yeah.
Canadian flag upside down,
yeah.
wasn't it?
Yeah.
The other thing on your website, again, about sensitivity and people getting offended very easily, is a urinal at the Honest Lawyer restaurant up in Hamilton.
Yeah, this is a urinal shaped like big red lips, almost like the Rolling Stones logo, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was a urinal, so you literally pee into these lips. And same thing, feminist, politically correct. Although it's in a men's washroom, tucked away from the world, meant as a joke, something to be amusing. This woman from a woman's abuse group got a hold of it or found out about it and just would not let go until they had to remove the urinal. And the funny thing is, I mean, she says, you know, peeing into what the imagery of what is a woman's mouth shows disrespect, and it's things like this that lead to violence against women. And I'm thinking, holy cow, what a leap that is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What an extremist this woman is. I mean, it could be the Rolling Stones lips. It could be something from Kiss. It could, hey, you know, there's all sorts of rock bands that
That's right.
do their lips up like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, but give that, us a yeah. break. And then to take it and claim that it's stuff like this that leads to violence against women, that's not giving the average guy much credit, is it?
No. To have a sense of humor and then to go home and beat your wife are two
yeah.
completely separate things.
You know, and they had 1,100 signatures on the petition, and I'm thinking, you know, I'd love to know, of that 1,100, like, who signed it? Have they ever been to the restaurant? Were
yeah.
they ever in the washroom? No, probably not. They probably have their own agenda.
Mm-hmm.
But then how many thousands have gone into that washroom, used the urinal, had a chuckle, came out, probably told their wives or girlfriends, they had a chuckle, no
yeah.
big deal, yeah, it's something different, it's a novelty, is it in bad taste? I don't know, that's for you to decide. But for a party to be totally detached from the restaurant and the situation, to campaign to have it removed, finally the owners, I guess, just gave up. And
yeah.
This ain't worth it. Take it down, for crying out loud.
Yeah, but again, the small groups that make the noise end up winning out in this whole thing, because exactly as you said, I bet you in that bar on a good night, there might be close to 1,100 people that go in that bathroom. And,
exactly.
You know, how many of them would have actually complained? It'd be interesting to see that list and see how many guys' names are actually on that petition, because
right.
I would imagine it would maybe be 1 or 2%.
Matt, I bet you. A lot of women have actually gone into that bathroom to see that urinal.
Of course.
Yeah.
You know, if they think, oh, is it empty right now? Oh, come here, have a look at this. Open the door and have a look and
uh-huh.
have a chuckle and walk away. Like, again, relax. If you don't like it, super. Don't go in the bathroom. Don't go to the restaurant. But don't tell me I can't pee in that urinal anymore because you don't like it. Like, seriously, where are we going with this stuff?
Yeah, again, a perfect example, two of them, of just way that people need to evaluate the seriousness of what's going on in the world. There's oil spilling mm-hmm. into the Gulf of Mexico right now. People are losing their houses and losing their jobs. And yes, everybody hears that story over and over again, and then they get tired of it. But really, in the grand scheme of things, a mouth urinal is not the end of the world.
No.
Well, Freddie, we will speak to you again next week. Always enjoy going to CanadianThinker.com. Have a good week.
Hey, loving you, boys.